Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk to the DAV's Disabled Veteran of the Year about Afghanistan and learn about Minnesota's newest Yellow Ribbon Company. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Makey.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon networks are an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program are vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements as we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. Your help ensures our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you are ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit mnbtyr.ng.mil. That's mnbtyr.ng.mil.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've got a special guest with us today who is a veteran of Afghanistan, a disabled veteran, and currently serves as the Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and his name is Mike McElhenney. Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back.
Mike, since I've seen you last, I understand you took a trip to Florida for the National Convention for the Disabled American Veterans. And at that convention, they awarded you with the prestigious Disabled Veteran of the Year Award at their national convention. I'll bet that was quite an event for you.
You know, Tom, it really was. It was, it was surreal when they said that I had achieved that recognition for the year. And then when I went down to Tampa for the national convention, it was very, you know, it's quite the honor, but it was so humbling to get out there in front of all those members of the DAV and accept the award. You know, I figure I'm just kind of doing what I do day by day, doing the right thing, and I never set out to achieve awards or accolades. It just, it was quite the honor.
High honor from the organization with a million disabled American veterans all across the nation, and well-deserved. Mike, I want to take you back to 1989. I think that was the year that you joined the United States Army.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. You know, I was like so many. My family members had served. It was an honorable thing to do. I didn't feel that I was ready to go to college and waste my parents' money. I was seeking adventure, and I wanted to do my time. I wanted to join the military and, seek adventure, and that's exactly what I did. So joined right out of high school like so many do, and earned the GI Bill and other benefits after a 21-year career in the military.
Well, about 5 years into that career, you were selected for the Army Special Forces course. How was that?
Yeah, so the way that actually works is it's an all-volunteer thing, if you will. After the Gulf War, things were getting a little boring, I guess, and I was at a decision point. I had been, you know, married for a couple of years. I was married young, had my first child, and I thought, you know, if I want to make a career out of this, I have to do something that's going to, you know, keep me motivated and exciting. And I had a couple of leaders that had just gone to Special Forces Selection and Assessment, and once I made E6 and I was a squad leader, had some time under my belt, I followed right behind them to join Special Forces.
Which included Airborne School and the Persian Farsi Language School at Fort Bragg, and away you went. I want to jump forward a little bit to 9/11/2001. That was almost 20 years ago, and we're going to have a special ceremony over at State Capitol on Saturday, September 11th. We'll talk about that a little later in the show, but shortly after the attacks on 9/11, you deployed with a detachment to Afghanistan at the start of Operation Enduring Freedom. And I understand that you and a team of 12 elite military members and three CIA agents accompanied a gentleman named Karzai into Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's correct. We were actually in Kazakhstan on 9/11/2001, conducting normally scheduled training with Kazakh airborne troops, and we saw the events unfold on BBC News while I was sitting down to have dinner. And we knew that the region of the world was our area of responsibility, and so we knew at that time, you know, we were going to war, whether we liked it or not.
We're speaking with Mike McElhenney, the Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. And Mike, that was shortly after you got into Afghanistan. A bad day in your life came up. You were seriously injured.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom. You know, we went to Afghanistan. Our mission was to conduct unconventional warfare and kill or capture Al-Qaeda. And doctrinally, unconventional warfare takes, you know, several months, maybe even a year or more to kind of build up your forces to start executing small missions. But the second night we were there, the Taliban started to probe us, and things went so fast. It was not at all what we expected. We started moving south as fast as we could, arming our host nation fighters, and it was just, a lot of contact every day. Yeah.
And then I understand you woke up in a hospital bed in Germany, and you'd been seriously wounded and lost part of your right arm.
Yeah, that's correct. We were December 5th, actually December 3rd, we were on the north side of Kandahar. The last piece of key terrain was a bridge on the north side of Kandahar. And, we'd been fighting over that bridge for a couple of days. In the morning of December 5th, we had some new units come in, and, we've been bombing, folks on the far side for the last couple of days and doing lots of movement to contacts, and we'd get guys wounded and they'd have to get medevaced. And then that morning we just, a bomb came in too close and wounded a lot of our guys, killed a lot of our guys.
And you lived through that. You survived it, many surgeries and seriously injured. And I understand that once you started on the mend, you got some prosthetic device, modern, pretty early. And all of a sudden you were looking around and there were some other wounded soldiers that weren't as lucky as you about getting those prosthetics quickly. And so you started mentoring them and helping them.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. We were the first wounded soldiers, after 9/11. And so there at Walter Reed, we're kind of the only show in town for several weeks. And, the technology they had seemed to stem back from, from Vietnam back to your era. And I thought, we can do better than that. And, after a couple of months there at Walter Reed, I went back to Fort Campbell doing some final occupational therapy, physical therapy. And in there, I ran into a young soldier from the 101st, and the entire division of 101st was deployed at the time. He didn't have any leadership, there in PT. His mother was there with him. He had a hook, and he was as far along, just about, it seemed. He wasn't quite as far along as I was, but he was still wearing the old-fashioned hook, and, he was quite enthused with the new technology that I had received already. And, I thought, what is this? He should be right here sitting next to me with a new top-notch prosthetic device, and he wasn't. So, yeah, at that time I talked to him, and I tried to reassure him and his mother, life's going to be fine. I have, lots of contacts that I had made out there at Walter Reed, and call all these people because they're there to help, both in DOD and Congress and, all of the above. And I said, please call these people. I'll call them for you as well. And we'll get you up to where you should be. I just didn't see anyone from his unit really taken care of. And I knew, as an NCO in the military, kind of your first mission is taking care of soldiers. And even though we were in a different unit, he was a young soldier and I was an older soldier. And I was going to make sure that, he was taken care of at least that day.
And that was the start of your career as a veterans advocate. And now you are the Chief of Staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Mike, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Afghanistan. We're talking to Mike McElhenney on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Mike McElhenney, who is the chief of staff for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. He is a wounded Afghanistan veteran, part of the Special Forces, and he recently was announced as the Disabled Veteran of the Year for the DAV across the nation. And we talked to him in the first segment about his service when he went into Afghanistan, and he was with an elite Special Forces crew that was bringing Commodore Harzai into Afghanistan, and within a couple of days he was seriously wounded, ended up in a bed in Germany. And Mike, I think I've known you for quite a few years now, but I wasn't a bit surprised when I read that before you were even done with your rehab, you had become a veterans advocate and you were helping other disabled veterans.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. You know, it wasn't something I set out to do. It was just it was natural at the time. You know, I was a more senior guy. I was a little bit further along in the healing and recuperation, and this young soldier was coming up behind me. Same injury as myself. He had lost most of one of his arms, and you know, at that point in time, it just didn't seem like he was getting all the service I was. And I thought, you know, gosh, I hope this isn't how it's going to be for, you know, the vast number of wounded guys that are probably going to come in behind us. And so I just, you know, I talked to him, I talked to his mother, and tried to do what I could do with Walter Reed and the folks in D.C. to say, you know, we have to all have the same, you know, the same process, the same gear. We all have our lives ahead of us, and, you know, there shouldn't be any. Just because we're Special Forces, we get, you know, cool equipment. And so it really kind of bothered me that day. And I just, I didn't set out to advocate for folks. It just kind of came naturally. I mean, happened naturally.
So, Mike, how did you get to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, which is where you are helping veterans all over the state of Minnesota?
Well, that's a long story, Tom. You know, gosh, so many things. You know, what really brought us to Minnesota is my wife, veteran herself from the first Gulf War, used her GI Bill and went through college and decided to go to medical school. And she had done some research and at the Mayo Clinic. And when she applied to medical school, Mayo accepted her again to go to medical school. So that's really what brought us up to Minnesota. And then that was really, I had a couple of years left before I could retire out of the military. And I was able to work with the 2nd of 135, probably the most elite infantry unit in Minnesota. And I know I'm a little biased because I work with them, but just a great group of guys. And I really enjoyed those last couple of years working with 2nd of 135 down in Rochester. So that's what brought us to Minnesota many years ago.
Well, and we're glad that you got over to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs when Larry Shelton was the commissioner over there, then worked your way up from legislative to the chief of staff. And as we said, you and that entire department work day and night to take care of our veterans here in Minnesota. Now, Mike, I know you're out of town today, and thanks for calling in. But over the last 10 days, there's been a big change of events in Afghanistan. The United States military is pulling out, and a sudden takeover of the country by the Taliban. As an Afghanistan veteran, I'd like to get your thoughts on how that's all unfolded.
Yeah, Tom, you know, there's no real good words to describe it. You know, it's bittersweet. It's sweet that after 20 years or nearly 20 years, we're finally pulling the troops out. You know, it's terrible the way it's occurred and unfolded. As I understand, there's still Americans of a variety of types, contractors, et cetera, that are having a hard time getting to the airport and getting pulled out. So how that happened, I will never know. But, you know, I firmly believe, you know, this is where I agree with President Biden. I heard him on the news a couple of days ago. You know, there's no great time to get out. I remember, you know, watching Saigon and people hanging on, you know, Hueys as they were flying off from the embassy there. There's no great time to pull out, and it's never easy, but we did it. But, you know, we went over there with a mission, and originally the mission was to, you know, remove the Taliban regime and to ensure that Afghanistan could no longer be used as a safe haven for terrorists. And, you know, so we went over there, and I think we did that pretty well. If you look at sort of military doctrine, we rendered them combat ineffective, and so therefore they were, you know, theoretically ineffective to carry out terrorist attacks. That took a few years, but you know, when you do that, when you remove a government, you know, you have to kind of do nation building. You have to do stability operations. You have to provide security so their government can get up and running. And, you know, I watched this unfold after I was wounded, and I remember many late night conversations with Hamid Karzai, you know, before we even infiltrated, that, you know, his thought was, the best thing you can do for Afghanistan is to stand up a loyal Jirga, which is, you know, their form of democracy. But the Western template of democracy would never work there. And we had hours upon hours of conversations about that. And so, I followed the news, obviously, when I got out of the military, or when I left Afghanistan and came to Minnesota and eventually retired. But, you know, those missions, you know, you could provide security. Look at World War II. Look at Germany. I mean, Korea. You know, we're still providing, you know, various, you know, stability and security. Well, not so much stability, but security. We're there. We're close to where we want to be. It's a strategic move. But in Afghanistan, you know, a lot of implications. But if you look at the root of it, we went over there to do a mission, and I think. You know, those first several years, we executed that. Took a long time to find bin Laden, but, you know, after a decade, we did that. And I guess as far as I'm concerned, the mission was complete. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have lost their lives, lost limbs, you know, over there. And I sit here and think today, you know, I think of my teammates that were killed that day, that we were all wounded. And I think, you know, what must their mothers be thinking? Why did I lose my son? For this, you know, the place is collapsing. The Taliban has taken over in just a matter of days. And, you know, when you know the history over there, you know, they've been warring for so many centuries. You know, 20 years is a drop in the bucket, and I think they just simply waited us out. And it's very disheartening, I can tell you that.
Mike, I think it's probably normal that some of the folks that served in Afghanistan, just like we did in Vietnam, are feeling some distress about the experiences they had during their service, and they might be having some funny thoughts. So I'm sure here back in Minnesota, you'd tell them there's a veterans crisis line available. It's 1-800-273-8255, press 1. If you have any issues, if you're feeling depressed, give them a call and talk about it.
Absolutely, Tom. That's what we're here for every day. You know, our mission at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is to take care of veterans, provide them services that they earned, services that they want. And this is certainly a time we've got some great counselors, and you know, I would recommend everything that you just stated, because it's the feelings I don't think have fully set in, and just talking to you right now, you know, it forces me to think about it a little bit more, and it just sort of stirs emotion. So you know, it's frustrating to say the least.
So remember, Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255, press 1. Mike, I can't believe it's been 20 years. I'm sure you do. But on 9/11 here in Minnesota, there's going to be an event over at the Capitol. It's called Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the 9/11 and the Global War on Terrorism Remembrance Task Force is inviting everybody to come over to the Capitol on 9/11 for a day of remembrance. Scheduled in person for Saturday, September 11th, 2021. That's going to be a big event.
That's right, Tom. You know, it's, you know, and I have to commend our commissioner. And when he came in, you know, a couple of years back, you know, everyone knew it was time to, you know, step back and thank all the veterans, all the service members still serving, those that have served over the last 20 years, and try to provide, you know, a thank you and a closure of sorts. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, we're pulling troops out of Afghanistan. By and large, we're out of Iraq, and it's time to, you know, thank them for their service and do it properly. So that's what we're really going to try to do, is really thank them and just remember back, you know, the events on 9/11 and celebrate those with, you know, really the rest of the country, other events that are going on. And, you know, really try to thank properly, again, you know, all the Gold Star families that are out there, and, you know, the families that survived, you know, and civilian families from events of 9/11, the morning of 9/11. And so we're really hoping to put a good show together, really you know, things will start kicking off at 6 a.m. To just follow the events as they did on 9/11. And there'll be events all day. The Armory just down the street from the Capitol complex. There'll be a museum display of artifacts from 9/11 from the Gulf, from Afghanistan and Iraq. And we really invite everyone to come out. It's not just for veterans. You know, we're thinking first responders as they responded on 9/11. We're thinking the families for the service and sacrifice of their loved ones. We're thinking the public. You know, when we look at our Gold Star, our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies and what they sacrificed, taking care of the veterans when they came back, letting them, not letting them, but, you know, supporting them as they deployed. And we think of Minnesota and all its great companies, the innovation that they provided to DOD through a variety of contracts that, you know, helped the war effort as they had done so many times in the past. It's really just a celebration of Minnesota and Minnesotans when times get tough. And so I hope we do a good job, and I hope everyone can come out that day. It's going to be a great day.
Very good, sir. Look forward to seeing you over there. And I want to thank you for sharing your story again today and wish you well.
Thanks, Tom. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you, sir. That was Mike McElhenney, the Chief of Staff from the MDVA on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet a company, a local company, that's about to become Minnesota's 80th Yellow Ribbon Company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Come visit the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, also known as MDVA, for the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The department will host a booth on the south side of the 4-H building for the duration of the state fair. Our staff will be on site with county veteran service officers to ensure veterans who stop by get the best knowledge, resources, and referrals in terms of state and federal benefits. Other groups represented include the veteran service organization partners like the VFW, the American Legion, and the Disabled American Veterans. Learn more about MDVA and how we fulfill our mission of serving Minnesota veterans and their families. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, and I like to refer to her as our Yellow Ribbon Lady. Although someday she'll throw something at me for that. Annette, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
Annette, you've been busy out there, and there are more and more companies that have become Yellow Ribbon here in Minnesota. What does that mean?
Yes, our Yellow Ribbon companies are amazing companies throughout Minnesota and throughout the nation, actually, that make commitments for recruiting, hiring, retaining our veterans, supporting their employees that are military-connected, and connecting in with our community efforts and military support.
And you've got some guests joining us today that are members of the company that's about to become the 80th Yellow Ribbon Company in your network.
Yes, one of our great companies out of Bloomington, Minnesota, Donaldson, has been a partner long before they actually became through the process to become a Yellow Ribbon Company. So we're really excited to have them here today. And I have two of their leaders with us today. Dana Clement is the Director of Talent Acquisition, and Brian Mont is the Engineering Manager and also a member of our Minnesota National Guard himself as a leader. So we're really excited to have both of them here today to talk about some of the commitments Donaldson has made.
Dana and Brian, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Dana, I want to start with you. I understand that you are the Director of Talent Acquisition for Donaldson Company.
Yes, I am. I'm responsible for planning and delivering strategic sourcing and hiring solutions that meet the needs of the organization. My experience with the military has been around family members who are in the Army and Marines. And then in a former employer, I partnered with the Department of Defense in hiring initiatives to support the Military OneSource program.
Very good. And Brian, I understand you're a member of the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Yes, I am, Tom. I'm the 133rd Airlift Wing Mission Support Group Commander. I'm fortunate to be serving in that role, and I've enjoyed my time as military service. Have served in multiple different organizations also, so I've got been fortunate to serve in multiple capacities and have enjoyed it immensely.
And you were with the 148th Fighter Wing for a while up in Duluth. Now you're with the 133rd. What's the status of our C-130s for the 133rd Airlift Wing? Are they the most modern version? Are we going to keep them? Are we getting new ones?
Well, the C-130s we have are C-130H models, and they are one of the oldest version in the Air Force. And we're trying to get newer J models. We've got a lot of legislative support, helping us out and trying to get that newer aircraft to maintain the mission. There's a process that needs to be done, and we'll see what transpires from there.
So for all our listeners out there, get a hold of your elected officials in Congress and tell them we need a new version of C-130s here in Minnesota so the 133rd can keep up the good work. Brian, how did you get to Donaldson Company?
Well, I got my agricultural engineering degree out of NDSU in Fargo, North Dakota State University. First job out of college sent me to Cummins Engine Company. Was down there for roughly 8 years and then started to move closer back to family, and got an opportunity to work with Donaldson Company, which is a great filtration company to work for, and have enjoyed it very much. Been there 20 years now at Donaldson.
Very good. And Dana, I understand Donaldson is about to be proclaimed as Minnesota's 80th Yellow Ribbon Company. Were you involved in the process of becoming eligible?
I was. Under Brian's great leadership, I was part of the what we call the Veteran Employee Resource Group. And so that group as a whole has been put in tremendous effort in this great award. So we're very excited for this.
And Brian, I think that probably means you spent some quality time with Annette over the last few months.
Yes, I have. She's been very helpful in trying to guide us through the process of, you know, what the action plan is all about, key things to put in there, give us some ideas. And been very helpful in that overall process.
Brian, I understand that Donaldson's been around since about 1915. And do you have any idea how many veterans are employed there?
Active members, there's probably a handful in the military. As far as military members prior service, there's probably right around 40 or 50. We've got a veterans group that we formed, and I've got an informal list from people who have kind of volunteered to share whether they've had military service, and there's roughly 40 to 50 people that I'm aware of.
Sometimes kind of hard to know because they have to self-identify.
Correct.
And it's one of those questions you can't ask anymore, and if they stand up and tell you, that's good.
Correct.
If they don't, that's okay. Now, Dana, I understand that when you become a Yellow Ribbon Company that you have to make some commitments as far as recruiting and hiring veteran employees.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of commitments that are on our list. Anything from veteran service member recognition and awareness, community involvement, and veteran service member recruiting and retention, which includes a focus on veteran-specific recruiting efforts, partnerships in the community, and enhancement to our benefits to support ongoing training initiatives or call to duty or deployment.
We're speaking with Dana Clement and Brian Mont from Donaldson Company on Minnesota Military Radio. And Brian, I want to come back to you with this commitment to hire veterans. Does some of that involve recognizing some things that the veteran employees of Donaldson have done? I understand you're working on some things in that area.
Yes, we've put in some in our action plan some ideas around how do we identify the contribution service members that are part of Donaldson, and trying to form some what we call a day in the life of the veteran or day in the life of the service member. It's kind of a work in progress, but that's one of our goals to try get more of that recognition and information sharing amongst all of Donaldson employees around what the Donaldson employee who serves has served or currently serving in the military does on a day-to-day basis.
And Annette, I want to come back to you. September 13th is going to be a big day for Donaldson Company.
Yes, we're going to officially proclaim them as our 80th Yellow Ribbon Company and all the great work that they're doing.
And is that been, do you know where that's going to take place? Is it going to be on site at Donaldson?
Yes, going to be on site at Donaldson. We bring in a state leader and a military leader to really make it a big deal and recognize their hard work.
Very good. And Dana, I imagine you're looking forward to that day. Is that going to be a big ceremony over at your company?
It is. It is. We're going to have be celebrating outside with our entire Bloomington population, and we'll have food trucks and music and giveaways for our employees. So we're really honored to receive this designation and excited to celebrate.
Very good. And Brian, we just got a little under 2 minutes left in this segment. Can you give us a little background? People have heard the name Donaldson. You know, I grew up in Minnesota. I've heard it my whole life. You know, what does the company do? What does Donaldson do?
Donaldson is a filtration company. So, you know, when you, I think from Minnesota, people hear Donaldson, they might think of the Donaldson department store. It's we're a filtration company, obviously. And we make a lot of filtration products. I think we provide filtration solutions for pretty much everything except for maybe like water filtration. So air, industrial, liquid, fuel, oil, a wide variety of products.
And Brian, we're just coming off a worldwide pandemic that hit us in 2020 and this year, and I understand you've figured out how to make some masks.
Yeah, it was a situation where the company's trying to figure out how do we continue to produce a product under the current conditions. And the area that, you know, to produce a product, you have to be in the plant and make on the line. So how do we protect our people doing that job? So we are not in the business of making face masks, but we came up with the right material, did a bunch of research, put together some equipment to kind of on a small scale make masks for our employees so they can continue producing and making product.
Well, for a while there, they were hard to come by. You couldn't buy them anywhere. Of course, our medical people needed them. So what a great idea to be able to, you're in the filtration business, let's filtrate some air and make sure our employees are safe and make your own masks. What a great capability.
Yeah, we have a lot of very smart individuals that kind of put their heads together and came up with a solution, and that's what we do, filtration solutions.
Very good. Thank you, Annette. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Minnesota's 80th Yellow Ribbon Company. Coming up, they'll be proclaimed next month. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today to Donaldson Company, which is about to become the 80th Yellow Ribbon Program next month. And we're speaking with Dana Kleeman and Brian Mont from Donaldson. And Annette, I wanted to ask you, you usually have spring and fall events where you get together your Yellow Ribbon companies. Do you have one this year? And what's going to happen there?
Yes, October 6th. We're really excited. We bring all of our Yellow Ribbon companies together and key support partners so that they can share best practices. And the conferences rotate between the Yellow Ribbon companies. So this year, Minnesota Wild and Highway Credit Union are co-hosting together. So they'll be able to share their best practices. So we're really excited to bring all the companies together since we didn't have any last year during COVID.
And Annette, I've been to a few of those, and Twin Cities is kind of a small community. It's an opportunity for your Yellow Ribbon companies to network with folks from other Yellow Ribbon companies, and it's amazing how many people you really know if you start looking around.
Absolutely. And they're even getting to the point where they're sharing resumes of strong veteran candidates and really building those great relationships.
Brian, I'll bet you're looking forward to meeting some of those other Yellow Ribbon companies and seeing what they're doing to help veterans and their families and find veterans to employ.
Yeah, we're excited to be part of this larger Yellow Ribbon Network community and kind of sharing what we have done and then obviously learning what others have done. So we're looking very much forward to this.
Dana, I'm sure you're looking forward to that event to network with some of those Yellow Ribbon companies, but are you already working with, say, Bloomington and some other Yellow Ribbon networks?
We are. We do attend and network with the City of Bloomington Yellow Ribbon Network. We also network with other veteran groups such as the Eagles Group of Minnesota and Battle Buddies Program, and then we provide company brief on Donaldson at the Minnesota Veterans Workforce Center.
And are your employees excited about becoming a Yellow Ribbon company, and are they getting fired up about having veterans on board and being part of this?
They're extremely excited for the kickoff on September 13th, and it'll be really good as we look at all of our efforts in attracting and retaining employees.
Well, it'll be a great celebration at Donaldson Company that day. Brian, I want to come back to you. Can you tell our listeners that haven't been through the process, how difficult was that process, and what advice would you give other employers who might be considering becoming Yellow Ribbon companies?
Well, I think the initial process, when you first look at it, might look somewhat daunting. You look at that action plan template, and you're saying, "Well, wow, there's a lot of stuff there. How do we do this effectively?" But I'd say that don't let that deter you. Don't let that scare you off. Just what we did is just started asking questions amongst our veterans group and saying, "Oh, what are you doing as far as supporting veterans? What activities are you involved in?" And from there, just kind of a little bit of groundswell, you kind of get some momentum going, get other ideas, and it all kind of comes together. So don't let that template get you, deter you, but just keep on moving forward and pull information from your employees and your friends and cohorts.
Brian, based on what we've heard on this show, a lot of companies discover that they're already doing a lot to support veterans and try to attract veterans and hire veterans. After all, you're in the 133rd Airlift Wing. Pretty easy to put in a full day's work if nobody's shooting at you.
Yeah, it's very, very well said.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for being with us, Annette. We're just about out of time for today. Another great company, Donaldson Company, going to be a big shindig on September 13.
Yes, absolutely. And we are just so proud of all the great work that Donaldson has been doing, and we're happy to welcome them to the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Company Club.
And you're having your fall gathering of the Yellow Ribbon Companies on October 6th. Where can they find out more information on that?
The companies will all be sent information, as well as our key support partners. We'll be sending that out within the next week.
Well, Annette, I got to hand it to you. Another great local company, been around since 1915. They've joined as the Yellow Ribbon Company, and I think they're going to do big things to help with your Yellow Ribbon networks.
I agree. We're so proud to partner with Donaldson.
Well, Annette, thanks for bringing in some great folks with us again today. It was Dana Clement and Brian Mont from Donaldson Company, and I look forward to seeing who you're going to bring in next.
All right, Tom, I'll be here.
Thanks, Annette. Joining me now is Martin Howes, Vice President of the Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officer. Marty, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Great to be here, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Marty, I understand you served in the United States Army and the National Guard.
Yeah, I was active duty Army, served with the 25th Infantry Division, and then after I got out of active duty, I served in the National Guard in Montana for a little while, and then over in Crookston, Minnesota, and then decided I was done for now.
And how long have you been a county veteran service officer?
I've been a service officer now. I'm in my ninth year in Roseau County here.
And are there a lot of veterans up there, Marty?
You know, we do have a high veteran population with relation to the, population as a whole. So, yeah, it's a pretty good community, and a lot of veteran support from those that aren't, too.
Well, and the place for all of our veterans to start if they've got some kind of issue related to their military service is their local county veteran service officer. So please go visit Marty if you're up in that part of the country. Marty, I know that certain conditions are related to Agent Orange exposure on a presumptive basis, meaning in my case as a Vietnam veteran, all I had to do was prove that I was on the ground in Vietnam and they could help me with my type 2 diabetes. But I think you're going to tell us today about some new presumptive conditions for the Gulf War.
You bet I am, Tom. And this is an exciting, this is just a very exciting time. You know, effective August 5th of this year, 2021, adjudicators began processing disability claims for asthma, rhinitis, and sinusitis on a presumptive basis. And it's related to the exposure to particulate matter for those that served in the Southwest Asia Theater and other areas. There is a little eligibility for it, and it's pretty simple. The veteran must have manifested chronic asthma, chronic rhinitis, and or chronic sinusitis to include rhinosinusitis within 10 years of separation from the last period of military service. So 10 years, that's the magic number, and if they've been doctoring for that or, you know, have some of that documented in their file and they're, you know, treating for that, they need to come see their county veteran service officer. And it doesn't matter the amount of time, any length of time that they served in the Southwest Asia Theater. So beginning on August 2nd of 1990 it is, so through the present.
So Marty, you said a presumptive basis. That means that if you have one of those conditions and you served in Afghanistan, Syria, Djibouti, Uzbekistan, I can't hardly say that, it's presumed to have been caused by exposure to these particulates.
Yep, that's exactly right. All you have to do is show proof of service of that you were in those areas and the other areas that are listed out in the 38 CFR. And those areas would be like Saudi Arabia, the neutral zone between Iraq and Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the Gulf of Oman, the Persian Gulf, the Arabian Sea, the Red Sea, you know, and that include and also as well as the airspace above those. So, yep, you're exactly right. So it's quite a, you know, quite an area.
All right. Thank you, Marty. And for all our veterans that are listening, if you were exposed during that time period, go see your county veteran service officer, and they can help you fill out a claim. Marty, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate you having us here today. You take care.
That was Marty Howes, Vice President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Mike McElhenney, Annette Kuiper, Dana Clemens, Brian Bolt, Marty Hauer from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update from the Commander's Task Force and hear the story of one soldier's service since 9/11. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.